Please take God's word this evening and go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. As you are turning there, we'll read verse 13 together in just a minute. I do want to say thank you to our pastor for the opportunity to preach this evening. Thank you also to our church family for giving us, the Sigmanis, the opportunity to serve here. September 19th, 2016 seemed like it was just yesterday. 8 years later, here we are. And so thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve here. And of course, thank you for being your place tonight. We're praying for our pastor, Ms. Tori, as they're heading back to be with us here, praying for God's safety on their lives there. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. It teaches us how to live wisely in a fallen, broken, and sometimes confusing world. And we come to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. The teenagers would be familiar with this verse because this is one of our memory verses for this year. We've got several Bible verses and passages that we're working to memorize together as a youth department. And this is one of the verses. So Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. I'll read out loud. I'd like for you to follow along. The Bible says, Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Let's read that together as one great choir, all right? We're going to say the reference and the verse. Ready? Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. All right, men, just the men. Ready? Reference and verse. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. All right, ladies, your turn. Ready? Reference and verse. Proverbs 28:13. I saw some ladies not quoting the verse. I almost feel like I should ask them to come up. That's what we would do in the youth department. We're going to take the verse off the screen there. Thank you, Brian, for having that up for us. I want you to look at your neighbor, all right? Someone right beside you there. And then you're going to try to quote this by memory to them. All right, look at your Bible real quick there, all right? Get it down. It's Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Look at your neighbor. And together, we're going to say the reference and the verse, all right? Here it is. I'll start you out. Ready? Proverbs 28:13. All right, that's pretty good. Give yourselves a hand. The title of our message this evening, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would be the great teacher and preacher this evening. May those of us who are believers not only memorize this proverb, but God, help us to live it out in our homes, in our workplaces, at school, throughout our community. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the peace in our hearts through the gospel. Holy Spirit, speak to each one this evening. We do pray for our pastor, Ms. Tori, that you'd bring him back safely to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the worst feeling in the world? I don't know what comes to your mind immediately, but for me, one of the worst feelings is when you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and all of a sudden, you look at your rearview mirror and you see those blue flashing lights. Let's take a quick survey this evening, all right? How many of you have been there before? Would you raise your hand? All right, keep your hand up. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Wow. Man, I'm glad Pastor's not here because we have a lot of criminals in this room, including Earl Sides. I'm shocked. What happens? What happens to me? My heart sinks to my stomach. Questions are racing through my mind like, what did I do? Why is he pulling me over? And many times, I'm embarrassed to say, but when I've been pulled over, there's serious prayer taking place before the God of heaven. The last time this happened to me was December the 28th, 2023, at 11:36 a.m. I'm holding in my hand the ticket that the officer was so kind enough to write for me. Just 3 days, Brother Allen, after Christmas. I'm unable to read his writing, but I'm pretty sure his name was Officer Grinch. He wrote down on the ticket there that I was going 53 in a 35 zone. Yes, to make the situation worse, thank you for pulling that up. To make the situation worse, I received that citation in a little town outside of Shreveport, Louisiana, called Ringgold, Louisiana. And many of you know where I'm going. Yes, the youth director broke the law while taking a group of teenagers to Southland Christian Camp for the winter retreat. Now, thankfully, I was alone. Because if I wasn't alone, everyone would know about this already, including the pastor. I even imagine on the front page of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, youth pastor arrested for endangering the lives of the citizens, the innocent citizens of Ringgold, Louisiana. Let me try to explain myself right with the ticket here. During the retreat, I went into town to get some electrolytes, some crackers, and some medicine for one of our youth workers, Greg Wasick. Miss Teddy, you would remember, he was sick unto death. And I think he'll never eat at Chick-fil-A ever again. He was dealing with some food poisoning. So I wanted to try to offer some help as much as possible, so I was going into town. Right, doing a good deed. How do you share the news? I was super embarrassed. When I returned back to the camp, three things were across my mind. Number one, I had to admit to Rachel that you're married to a criminal. Number two, all I could think about, Brother Greg, was that was one expensive bottle of Gatorade and Tylenol that I just bought. And then number three, I needed help. And so I wasn't going to share the news with everyone, but I went to Mike Graham, one of the camp workers, and I said, Mike, what kind of relationship do you have with the city of Ringgold? He took a picture of my ticket. And he sent it to Rob Moore, one of the lawyers that he personally knows in Ringgold. And I was thinking, this is it. He's going to get me out. Rob, the next day, I don't know him, responded to Mike and said that he wasn't able to do much about it. Thanks a lot, Rob. But wait, there's a good ending to the story. After we got back, I still have not told anyone. As a matter of fact, Greg and Teddy, they did not know about this story until now. 1 week after we got back, I decided to call the Ringgold City Hall just a month before my court date. And I asked to speak to the chief of police. He got on the phone. My words exactly. My name is Tony Segmini. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. I was visiting Southland Christian Camp for a winter retreat at the end of December. That's when Officer Grinch, or whatever his name was, pulled me over and gave me a speeding ticket. I did not realize I was breaking the law. I make no excuse, and here's what I said to him. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Would you please have mercy on me? He put me on hold right away. I thought, well, what does that mean? It felt like hours, but the next thing I know is that his secretary comes on the phone and says, the police chief has dismissed your ticket. Have a great day. I have never personally heard angels from heaven, but the sound of her voice and her message that evening was angelic. I learned a very valuable lesson. And here's the lesson I learned that day. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And I want us just to notice two quick things this evening from this verse. Number one, the cover up of sin. And then number two, the confession of sin. First off, the cover up of sin. The sad reality is that we do not live in a world and culture of confession, but we live in a world and culture of cover up. Turn on the news, Google it. No one wants to take responsibility for any fault or failure. Instead of owning up to it, we shift the blame. We play the blame game. We point fingers and we make up excuses. As a matter of fact, I remember as a kid, if I didn't do my homework, David, I told my teacher that my dog ate the homework. Covering up our sin is displeasing to God. We're all guilty of it. We are all guilty of hiding and trying to cover up our mistake. No one is exempt. Why? Because as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. Why do we try to cover up our mistakes? Where do we learn it from? We learn it from our parents. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve disobeyed God's clear command and they took of the fruit. What was their reaction? If you go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, they sewed fig leaves together to cover up their nakedness. They were trying to hide from their sins. David cried out in Psalm 51, verse 3 and 4, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." And he says, "Against thee, God, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." We cannot be right with God and have his blessing while trying to cover up our sin. Covering our sin is displeasing to God. Number two, covering up our sin leads to failure. Do you see what the proverb says? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. We cannot and will not succeed when we're hiding sin. I ask some questions here this evening. Are you living a life of secrecy? Are you trying to hide and cover up your sin? Is there something in our lives that should not be there? Well, the proverb says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." The word prosper does not just refer to wealth, because we understand you can have possessions and still live in misery. If you are living in frustration tonight, dear Christian, if you are living life with no joy, teenager, and there's no contentment, it is possible that we are hiding and covering our sins. In Joshua chapter 7, the story of Achan, he was one who was caught covering up his sin. Do you remember the story? He was hiding the possessions that he stole under his tent. And because of that, he and his family suffered and died. The cover-up of sin. But tonight, I want to spend most of our time on the second point, and that's the confession of sin. Webster's Dictionary defines the word confess as to tell or make known something wrong or damaging to oneself, to acknowledge sin, to disclose one's faults, to admit. Would you hold your place here and go to 1 John chapter 1? 1 John chapter 1, we'll read verse 7 down to verse 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us." You'll notice here the word sin in the singular is what we are. We are sinners by birth. You also notice the word sins in the plural. It is what we do We are sinners by condition. We are sinners by conduct. And the only way that you and I can be justified before God Almighty and to have the peace with God is through confession. It's through the confession of the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he is the only way. So, dear Christian, may we never complicate the ABCs of salvation. First, A, we must admit, we must confess that we are sinners. B, we must believe that Jesus died for us. And then C, we must call on him as Savior. Amen. And if you're here this evening and you are not sure of your eternal destiny, if you're not sure that heaven's your home, salvation is simple as A, B, and C. Admit, believe, and call. The gift of God is not something you work for or achieve. It's something you accept and receive. It's through confession. So this evening, we are saved from the penalty of sin through confession, but we are also saved from the power of sin through confession. And so I ask the question this evening, do you really want to live in victory? Do you want to be part of a growing and thriving church? Do you want happiness in your marriage? Do you want calmness in your home? Teenagers, do you want to get along with your parents? Parents, do you want to get along with your children and teenagers? Do you want to enjoy being with your extended family and your in-laws? Do you want your relationships with your neighbors and coworkers and classmates to flourish? Well, I tell you, the answer this evening is found in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What great counsel this evening from God's word. The first step this evening to reconciliation is starting with these words. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Many relationships are broken and will never be fixed because of our pride, and where both parties are not willing to humble themselves and say those words, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Can I give you two Bible illustrations this evening? We're going to do a little Bible study, all right? Would you go to Genesis chapter 50, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 50. And then when you get there, if you'll hold your place, we're going to start there first. But go to Acts chapter 2, all right? Genesis 50. And in Acts chapter 2, in Genesis 50, a 17-year-old teenage boy was hated by his brothers. He was sold into slavery to the Midianites. He was falsely accused and then thrown into prison for 2 full years. God eventually delivered him from his trials and from his heartaches. And if I could pause there, I don't know what you're going through, but God can deliver you this evening through your heartaches and your trials. We find in this story that Joseph goes from being the janitor of the store to now the general manager. What a pay raise. We know the closing part of Joseph's life. He saves his family and he saves the world. And in Genesis chapter 50, a verse that we have also memorized as a youth department, Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20, Joseph says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. As I was reading through this story earlier this year, something caught my attention that I never considered. Would Joseph have ever been able to get to this point in life without the confession of the butler? You're like, where are you going? I'm glad you asked. Go back just a few pages to Genesis chapter 40. Would Joseph have ever been able to get to this point without the confession of the butler? Genesis 39 and verse number 20, it says, and Joseph's master, which was Potiphar, took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison, and he was in the prison. And now we come to chapter 40. Two guys were thrown into prison with Joseph. They were the butler and the baker. Chapter 40, verse 1 says, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two of his officers, against chief of the butlers and against chief of the bakers. And the Bible says he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. The butler and baker, in the next few verses, they have a dream. They couldn't interpret the dream. Joseph comes along and he says, what's going on, boys? They said, we got a dream and we can't interpret it. And the Bible says that Joseph interprets the butler's dream. Look at verse number 12 and 13. Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Joseph had one request. He says, look, you're going to be delivered from prison. You're going to get out of here. You're going to get restored back in your place. But when you get out, I've got one request. What would your request be if you were in prison? How many of you have been in prison? Don't raise your hand. I don't know. The thing that I would ask for is freedom. I want to get out of here. And that's what Joseph said. Look at verse number 14. He said, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. He said, I want freedom. But at the very end of the chapter, look, verse number 23, the butler's delivered. And the Bible says this, not the chief butler remembered Joseph, but forgot him. Hey, by the way, this is a reminder to all of us to not put your confidence in man. Because man may fail you and man may let you down. Teenager, look, don't live for the approval of your friends and your peers. They will fail you. They'll lie about you. They don't care about you, really. He or she cannot be trusted. Here we see the butler, he was delivered and he forgot Joseph. Psalm 118 verse 8, I believe it's the very center verse of all the Bible. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I don't know how discouraged and down Joseph was, but we come now to chapter 41 of Genesis. Pharaoh, he also has a dream. He has two dreams. And Pharaoh could not understand the meaning of those dreams. And no one around him could give the interpretation until, look at chapter 41 and verse number 9. We have here the confession of the butler. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Do you see what happened here? The butler was willing to admit his fault and confess his failure. He was willing to say this, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. The life of Joseph, if you know the story, was restored all because the butler was willing to confess and forsake his sin. Because of the butler's confession to his fault, catch this, hundreds and thousands of lives were saved. Would you go to Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. After the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and before his ascension, Jesus spent 40 days with his followers. He tells his followers in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Peter stands in Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 14. Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, and for the next several verses, what we find Peter doing is standing and preaching the gospel. The result of that, look at verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What happened here? What a church service. We read here and we see here the boldness of Peter. But this evening, I don't want us to forget that he was not always a superhero with superpowers. Would you go back to Luke chapter 22? Luke chapter 22, Jesus is headed to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. Verse 31 of Luke 22, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desire to have you. Man, if there was one message I could think of for teenagers this evening is that, look, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desire to have you. And I want every teenager to understand that Satan wants to seek out to destroy your life. Jesus said, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you or shake you as wheat. Look at verse 32. Look, don't be so discouraged. Be encouraged. Why? Because verse 32, Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Look, don't be discouraged, teenager, because we do live in a wicked world and it's cruel. And there's a lot of wickedness out there. But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And then we come to verse 33 and 34. We read of Peter's pride and his self-confidence. The Bible says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Jesus said in verse 34, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Jump down to verse 54. They take Jesus. They took him, the Bible says in verse 54, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. Verse 57. This is the same Peter that was just preaching that we looked at in Acts chapter 2. He denied. He denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter followed afar off. He denied Christ three times. But then we see in verse number 62, Peter went out and wept bitterly. You'll follow his life, you'll find that Peter was willing to confess and forsake his sin. In both these stories, story in the Old Testament, story in the New Testament, story of the butler, story of Peter. In both stories, when the butler was willing to acknowledge his mistake and when Peter owned up to his failure and sin, what was the end result? The end result was that the lives of people were changed around him. Others were helped. If we really want to make a difference in the world, I think it starts with this very important proverb this evening. We must be willing to confess and forsake our sins. The good news of Jesus Christ can march forward to the lost when we live out Proverbs 28, verse 13. I wrote just a few things down by application for myself, and I hope that you'll take them tonight. Number one, Tony, would you be willing to admit when you are wrong? Confess it to the Lord first. Hey, I should be willing to pray as David prayed. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Look, when I do wrong, it's not if I do, but when I do wrong, Tony, be first to be willing to admit it to God. And then next, speak to those who have offended you. I ask a question this evening. When was the last time you said the following words? I'm sorry. I was wrong. The truth this evening is that we will never be the husbands or fathers or wives or mothers or sons or daughters or church members or employees or employers or students or neighbors without acknowledging and admitting that we have made a mistake. Admit it when you're wrong, Tony. Number two, Tony acknowledged that freedom comes from confession. You've heard the phrase before, confession is good for the soul. But can I say it this way? Can I quote the Bible? The truth shall make you free. Look, I believe there's some folks, maybe even here tonight, you're living in bondage and frustration, and your hands are tied, it seems like. There's no victory. Why? It's probably because you have not confessed and accept the forgiveness that needs to come with it. Acknowledge that freedom comes from confession. And then number three, Tony, would you allow the mistakes to grow you? Now's not the time to quit or throw in the towel. Remember, dear Christian, dear church member, remember, Tony, that God's mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient. I love what Ecclesiastes says, that a living dog is better than a dead lion. So what I'm trying to say this evening is this. Look, as long as you have breath and life, there's hope and there's forgiveness. As long as you and I are willing to admit, to confess, and to forsake. I'm closing this evening and I was trying to figure out how I wanted to close the message, because this proverb is a proverb that we're trying to memorize the youth department, and God has spoke to me about it. But I thought I'd just close with a personal story. I remember a few years back, and I'm not proud of this, but where I lost my cool at home. I was upset with Rachel. I was mad at the kids. I was just frustrated with everything. I yelled some hurtful words to Rachel. I disciplined the kids out of anger. I was wrong in every way. The Holy Spirit of God would not leave me alone. I had to call a family meeting. We gathered around together. And I had to say those words that are sometimes very hard to say. Rachel, Jonathan, Esther, Joy, Naomi, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. That was one of the sweetest moments with our family. We cried together. We hugged each other. We forgave one another. It wasn't easy, but he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Would you bow in prayer with me? I don't know where you're at tonight, but is there someone you need to make things right with? Parent, it may start with you. You may need to talk to your child. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Parent, it may need to start with you. You need to go to your parents and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Forgive me. Husband, wife, church member, is there someone you need to make things right with? Maybe it's a relative that's not close by. It might be good just to pick up the phone and call and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Father, I pray that you would help us to not just memorize this verse as we've quoted together over and over, but I pray you'd help each and every one of us to live this proverb out. Help us to not hide and cover our sins, because we will not prosper. Help us to confess and forsake, and we pray for mercy. I don't know the relationships that are represented in this room that needs to be restored, but God in heaven, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would work. Help us to be willing to admit when we're wrong. Help us to know that we can have freedom in life when we are in confession And thank God we can learn from our mistakes, and I pray that our lives would be a blessing to others and the gospel would go forward. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, the piano is going to play. Kind of a unique message, but it was the scripture memory verse that we've come to in the youth department. I wanted to just share that thought. I don't know where you're at, but some of you, maybe you just need to start with your confession to God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Make things right with the people around you. It won't always be easy, but it's needed. And if you can't remember the last time you said, I'm sorry, I was wrong, that's something that you need to start with there.